Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning. It's 10 a.m. on the East Coast. Well, May the 20th, 2015. I'm Tom Sears, and welcome into this week's edition of The Word. Today, we're going to take a look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and the title of our teaching today is going to be Vanity. And we believe that it will, again, challenge you and encourage you, but it will reveal the important things of life and that God has a purpose and a plan for all of our lives. And I think the biggest question that I would like to ask or pose here this morning is, what are we living for? If you could ask yourself one question right now, if you have a moment wherever you are, just to ask yourself the question, what am I looking for? Let's take a look at God's Word this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Let's open this morning's program in prayer. Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the opportunity to do what we do. Right here on this radio broadcast, live going around the world, or whether someone's clicked on the archive page and they're listening to this, I'm going to pray that it becomes a blessing to them. Father, to encourage and to challenge all of us to be better than we were and to do better than we did. That you are a awesome God, and we have so many benefits by serving you. But Father, you've called us to walk in your ways. I feel even in my heart, Father, that cry of going back to the old paths, as the book of Jeremiah says. So Father, today, let all of us find out of our lives what we are, in fact, living for. Help us to set those priorities in place to make sure that our priorities are in line. Help us today, O Lord, to be attentive to what you say, what your word has to say. We give you glory. I'm going to pray a special blessing upon everyone who's listening to this program. Bless them and keep them, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So Solomon is saying, listen, whatever I desired, whatever I wanted, I got, rejoiced in what I had. But he says, but then I looked on all the works that my hands had done. I looked on all the labor that I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. If we were all to take a step back this morning and do honest self-examination of our lives, take a look, begin to ask ourselves some tough questions. I've already posed, I think, what is the theme for this morning's message. What am I living for? What is it that you believe, that you chase, you believe is worth putting all of your time and effort into, the way that you spend your life? If you were to grab a piece of paper and a pen this morning and you were begin to chart the things that are important to you, what is it that makes you go? What is it that drives you every single day? Because the truth is, I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. We had a dropped call there. I'm going to try to pick it up where I left off. And that happens from time to time. And if it does, I'll be reconnected as soon as possible. Anyway, each day, our lives are spent on something. And the truth about every single day is that once it's gone, it doesn't come back. You don't get to go relive it. It's not like a video game where you have an extra life or a cheat code that lets you go back and play the level over. You don't get a second chance on your day. Once it's over, it's over. And what is it in your life that you say, if I had this thing, I'll be happy. If I had this thing, this possession, this relationship, whatever, if I had it, I'd finally feel accomplished. I'd finally feel as though I've made it. You think you'll be happy at last. What is it? What is it that when you have it, you'll know what life is supposed to be? Because Solomon thought that all those possessions, all that he had done, was what made life important or valuable. But looking back on it, he said, what I noticed is that it was all vanity and grasping at the wind. So you can't catch the wind. It'll just slide right through your fingers. Really, it's a lot like life. You see, you can have everything that the world offers, but it will never truly satisfy. You see, Solomon started by saying, I was great. This is a man that had tasted all that the world had to offer, that the world called good. He had everything or anything that anyone could ever want. And at the end, he said, it's vanity. If you take a look at what that word vanity means, it means excessive pride in one's appearance or accomplishments, conceit. Something about which one is vain or conceited. And here's the one that I want to highlight, because I believe this is what Solomon was saying. Vanity means worthlessness, pointlessness, or futility. I think what Solomon was saying is that he had got everything he ever wanted, but now he's looking back and he realized it was all worthless. It was all pointless because he had chased the wrong things. Really, a lot of people end up in midlife crisis because they get in their 30s or their 40s and they realize, wait, life hasn't turned out like I thought it would. I thought by now I would have this much success. I thought by now I would have this. I would be wealthy. I would be rich. I would have this job. I'd be doing this. And life doesn't always go the way that we had expected. And that's why it is so important for us to put our times like David did in the hands of God. David cried, my times are in your hands. Things that brought him joy, brought him pleasure. But he was beginning to understand that life was so much more. There was a man, I don't know if many of you out there remember this story, but a gentleman by the name of Jack Whitaker. And he had won the largest lottery ever, $314.9 million, all by himself, single ticket. He won that on Christmas Day, 2002. He had a 15-year-old daughter. You think about an allowance that he gave, and this is true. We're told that he gave $5,000 per week to his daughter and to his granddaughter. $5,000 per week. You think about, as a teenager, having $5,000 per week. By the time she had become 17 years old, she had her own apartment. She had several cars. She had a Hummer. She had a Cadillac Escalade. He had more money than he knew what to do with. He had received a lump sum of $113 million, and guess what he did? He paid his tithes to his local church. Now, if you do the math on that, that church got $11.3 million of a tithe. We'd think that $113 million would bring us so much happiness that we wouldn't even know what to do. But that's only partly correct. Because after he won that lottery, he started going to strip clubs. He developed a gambling addiction. He was arrested twice for drunk driving. He was eventually ordered to check into a rehab center. And then on 1 September, a young man, a friend of his granddaughter, was found dead in Jack's house from an overdose of cocaine, oxycodone, and methadone. What happened to his granddaughter? Did her life take off like so many other teenagers that at least you would expect their lives in front of them? She had $5,000 a week. Think about all the people that wanted to be her friend. What she found out was the people before the $5,000 a week that really didn't associate with her, they all wanted a piece of her money now. They all wanted to be her friend. But she couldn't find very many people that were interested in being a true friend, being someone that would be interested in her as a person. Growing up, she had been a quiet young girl, beautiful smile. By the time she was 16 years old, her grandfather said, "Is the most bitter 16-year-old that I know." Jack began to regret the toll that the money had played on his family. His granddaughter began to turn to those who were using drugs to be her friends. Think about it. What can be more dangerous than a teenager on drugs, unlimited supply of cash? Well, you can probably imagine what happened next. On Christmas Eve, exactly 2 years after that lottery win, Jack buried his granddaughter. She was dead of a drug overdose. Her body was discovered wrapped in a sheet in a plastic tarp alongside a junked-up van at the home of her boyfriend. Do you think that she ever got the right answer to the question, "What am I living for?" Do you think that Jack ever got the right answer? Well, the question is, what about you? Do you have the right answer? Because the truth is that we can never deceive ourselves into believing that that story could never be our story. Can. And maybe for some of you listening, you've had a very similar story. Why do all the movie stars and actors, not all of them, but a lot of them, why do they all seem like they have it all? And then it's on the news that they had a drug overdose because they injected drugs into their bodies. The answer is they did not know what they were living for. We are all born with a purpose. We are placed on this earth to fulfill the purposes of Almighty God. Those lives, it's all vanity. At the end of the day, we have to decide whether we're going to live a life that's worth value, that has a point, or whether our lives are going to be worthless and pointless. We're speaking from the Bible this morning about one of the wisest people, the wisest man to ever live. And he had to ask himself, "Am I living for?" He was wise, not just because he was a genius. His name was Solomon. And just as he was beginning his reign as the king after his father died, God had appeared to him and asked him, "Whatever you want me to give you, I will give. What do you want?" Now, we would all love that, wouldn't we? Imagine that if you're at home, God shows up and says, "Ask me whatever you want and I'll give it to you." What in the world would we ask for? I think that if we know the answer to that question, it reveals a little bit about who we are. If God showed up and asked you, "What do you want? I'll give you anything you want," we ask him for. Well, Solomon asked for wisdom. He wanted to be able to govern the people. He wanted to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. And God said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. Since you ask me for wisdom, in addition, I'm going to throw in some benefits. I'm going to throw in wealth. I'm going to throw in fame. I'm going to throw in knowledge that no one before you has ever had, and no one after you will ever have." So then Solomon set out to find out what was going to make him happy. He had all this stuff. He was the first one to say, "Guess what? You only get one go at this. You only get one time around. You only go around once in life, so you might as well enjoy yourself." While there's time, get everything out of it you can. You only have one life. And Solomon went pursuing pleasure. Now, he had a knowledge of what was right and wrong. But knowledge of something is not actually doing it. Because the truth is, there's a lot of us that we have the knowledge of what is right and wrong. Maybe you're out there listening and you had a godly mother and father who raised you and taught you the ways of God. And your path has went in a different direction. You have knowledge of what is true. You have knowledge of what is right. You have knowledge of what is important. But knowledge does not necessarily mean application. I'm a firm believer that knowledge is knowing, but wisdom is doing. Solomon had all the knowledge. He knew right from wrong. He asked to know right from wrong, and he knew it, but knowing is not doing. It's not always the key to the change in behavior. That's why God is in the heart-changing business. Because as our hearts change, our behaviors change. As our heart turns towards God, our behavior begins to present itself in a godly way. It's not perfect overnight. It doesn't mean that everything's peachy in 24 hours. It just means that as God changes our hearts, and really that's what we need. We need a heart change. This country is in trouble. Our churches are in trouble. Our homes are in trouble. We need to allow God to come back in and change our hearts, because we're running everything with our minds. We have knowledge we're not applying. We have the precious word of God that we're not applying to our lives, giving proper application. I hope when it's all said and done, that we don't look back on our lives and say, "It was all vanity," or "worthless," "pointless." I have a tremendous desire in my heart that when it's all said and done, I will have made a difference. I will have made a difference in someone's life that is so important to me. What are you living for? Is it success that makes you happy? Well, that's okay. I believe we've got to rid ourselves of the underdog mentality. and realize who we are in Christ. But are the things you're doing on a daily basis, are they pointed to the things of God? In Ecclesiastes 5:13-17, there is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches kept for their owner to his hurt. But those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there's nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness. He has much sorrow and sickness and anger. Basically what Solomon's saying there is that, number one, that old cliche, that old saying says, you came into this world with nothing and you're going to leave with nothing. That sums up what he was saying. He says, we're working, we're striving to be rich, to be powerful, to be prominent, and at the end of the day, we're going to leave it all behind. Wouldn't it be better to have a life with a purpose? Wouldn't it be better to do something to make a difference? There are people that store up money when they could be helping the homeless or the poor, helping the sick, reaching out to other parts of the country, other parts of the world. So the message is, not only should we have this wisdom or this knowledge of what is right, but it's the application of it. And so what Solomon, I think, is summarizing there is that we need to live a life of generosity, that we use the money we have to make a difference, not for vanity. Vanity, again, worthless and pointless things. We got to work so that God is glorified, not so that we can accumulate possessions that are temporary, as Solomon said, that are going to pass away and mean nothing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Never forget that. We are blessed to be a blessing. Everything else is vanity. All that stuff we do is vanity. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to have nice things, do good things. That's not what I'm saying. He does. It's in there too. He wants us to enjoy our lives. He wants us to enjoy the fruit of our labor. He does. And that's why it comes down to the heart. When I said that we have to have a heart change, that's why it's so important to allow him to come in and transform us. Because as the heart changes, behavior changes, the way we think changes, the things we do change. We become more generous, we become more thoughtful, we become more compassionate. We step down from our podium or our platforms of self-righteousness and begin to care for those that are around us. We become a person that lives life generously. That we use what we have to make a difference, because the Bible says that all good things have come from him. And so the things in your life that you have, your home, your vehicles, whatever it may be, your possessions have been given to you as a blessing. Be a blessing. Don't lose sight of that today. Be a blessing. What are we living for? Are we living a life of purpose? Are we making a difference? And listen, this applies. This not only applies to the person that just gets up and goes 9 to 5 every day, does the same routine. This is also for ministers and for Christians, that because what happens even in ministry is that we get so caught up in ministry that we're not really ministering. Does that make sense? I hope it does. If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm saying. Or if you are there, you know exactly what I'm saying. We are so caught up trying to build our kingdoms when in reality we should be building his. What are we living for? We deceive ourselves into believing that everything we do is what God wants because we're doing it. When his word says that he will guide us, he will direct us. In the footsteps of a righteous man, they're ordered of him. I encourage you today to really challenge yourself with this question. What am I living for? There's something else to think about. And people of all kinds can really allow this to soak in that being perfect is not a perfect idea. In Ecclesiastes 7:20 through 22, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say. If you hear your servant cursing you, for many times also your own heart have known that even you have cursed others. You know, Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged. I think this is where a lot of empathy comes in, where you really try to put yourself into someone else's shoes, but you know that you really can't stand in those shoes because you don't have any idea what they're going through. This is a lesson I know that's really close to my heart here on this day. When he says, don't take to heart everything people say, when you hear they're cursing you, because in your own heart, you have also cursed others. And boy, isn't that the truth. We're so quick to jump on the idea that woe is me, everyone's coming against me. And in reality, we have been that person a time or two in our lives as well. And he really summarizes it by saying, there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. We would do well to listen to that word today. And you say, well, it's the Old Testament. Well, it's also validated in the New Testament. We are not perfect, and being perfect is not a perfect idea. If we would take a step back and begin to realize that we are all flawed, everyone has sin, and we need to be slow to judge and critique people. I believe in a standard. God says, I am holy, be holy. I believe in all this. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. But at the end of the day, we all fall down. And if we deceive ourselves into thinking that we don't, I don't want to walk in that place. Let me just put it that way. It's about living a life to the best of our abilities. And where our abilities end, where our strength ends, this begins. He is perfect. What he does is perfect. Who he is perfect. And so in our imperfections, he is perfect. When we fall down, he is the one that can pick us up. When we can't take another step, he is the one that strengthens our legs. When we don't know where to go, he is the one that gives us direction. What are we living for? If you're out there today and you know that in your life, you're living a life that you at times you feel it's pointless, you feel it's worthless. And let me clarify something, because I think this is an important point as well. Many of us, and even in the church and in ministry, we do things and we've thought to ourselves, why am I doing this? It's pointless. Well, we have to understand something. There are pointless things, and there are things that we do that just take time. And sometimes when we don't see results immediately, we think it's pointless. I'm here to tell you today that I have labored for the Lord. I have done things, and it has taken years for me to see the results. Because Paul said it, one planted, one watered, but it was God who brought forth the increase. What that means is that when you go to the garden, you put a seed in the ground, you got to water it, you got to do your part, but God's going to make it grow. And so when you're working with someone, you're speaking into someone's life, don't ever think that's worthless or pointless. If you're trying to take God's wisdom and knowledge and impart that to someone, don't ever think that that is worthless or pointless. Listen, I can tell you that there have been times, and you know, when I travel to India, there have been times that I have spoke to thousands, and there has been times that I've spoke to five. And I have really, in my heart, tried to pursue it, go into it with, this is as important because these five people matter. We have to value every individual. So it's never worthless, and it's never pointless. But if you're living life today, you really don't know it's what life's purpose is. You're frustrated. You're downtrodden. You haven't took the time to turn it over to God. Now is your time. Now is that hour. Today is that day. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So the message is in the end, the sign of a great life is how one has obeyed God. That's what a great life is. And so, if you're asking yourself this morning, am I living a worthless, pointless life? Well, you have to say, first, am I allowing God to direct me? Am I allowing God to guide me? Am I allowing God to be my master? And if the answer to that is no, then you're chasing your tail. It's vanity. It's all vanity. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is a man that says, I had everything I ever wanted. I had all the possessions. I had all the women. I had everything. The end of it, I've realized that I need to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. Because everything said or done in secret be brought to the light, whether it be good or evil. Maybe you're out there today and you've tried to do great things for God and you're discouraged and you're in despair. Can I tell you that your reward is not meant to be here? This keeps me going on some days. We're not looking for a celebration or a parade. Our reward is in heaven. We are working by faith. We are laboring by faith. We are pursuing the calling of God by faith. We are having that Paul mindset that says, I know I'm not there yet, but I'm going to push. I'm going to press. I'm not going to look behind me. I'm going to press on to that high calling, that invitation, as we talked about here on The Word last week. I'm going to find out, Paul said. I'm going to apprehend the reason I was apprehended. I'm going to find out what it is. I am going to live my life chasing the purpose God has for me. Because Paul knew there was a purpose. Paul told Timothy, fulfill your ministry. What he was saying was, do everything that God wants you to do. And Solomon, the wisest man, wisdom imparted of God, from God, told us that in the end, a great life is one that obeyed him. He understood that all the possessions he had, all the things he had chased, all the things he had done, that important. He got sidetracked. He lost sight of what was valuable. Ladies and gentlemen, Praise God, this morning we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to turn things around. I talk a lot about that word kept. It has meant so much to me. Years ago, probably back in 2008, if I recall correctly, our New Year's Eve service was approaching. And I remember, you know, all the preachers on television and all the preachers were saying, this is what God says for the upcoming year. And they have this motto, this year is going to be the year of. And I was so frustrated because I wasn't hearing anything like that. And I remember praying and saying, God, why can't you give me a motto? And I remember like it was yesterday. He said, you want one? Here you go. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Boy, what that says. We're trying to say this is the year of blessing. Every year is the year of blessing according to God's word. This is the year of salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't need new tactics. I don't need new gimmicks. I am Jehovah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you today that He is God, and there is no God like Jehovah. I have seen Him turn lives around. I've seen Him heal relationships. I've seen Him put marriages back together. I've seen Him heal bodies. That is the God that I serve. And there is no God like Him. Our purpose is His purpose. Our lives are in His hands. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. That's when those secret things, they come out, whether it be good or evil. So I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God has a plan. And if you could take the time, wherever you are, to invite Him to take over, I assure you, this is not a gimmick. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm going to encourage you to turn it all over to Him. Because if you'll do that, I believe He'll bring change. I don't care if you've been in the church 35 years. Ask Him, Lord, what's next? I want You to be in my next. Because He hasn't called us to keep the seat warm. He's called us to go to the harvest field. He hasn't called us to sit there and amen the pastor every Sunday and do nothing else. He's called us to go to the harvest field. He says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. This walk is not a walk of talk. It is a walk of action. Calling us to do. Calling us to move. Calling us to action. To go and reach the world for Jesus Christ. Everything else is vanity. Our purpose. Our objective, what we live for, should be His purpose and His objective. You know, as a pastor, I've had people come to me and say, I don't know where I or what my calling is. And it's difficult because I try to tell people, listen, I'm the pastor and I don't call you. It's the Father who gives that invitation. But there are some things you can do. You begin to think about the things you're passionate about. You know, for instance, and I always use this as an example, but there's a lot of people out there, men and women alike, who are very passionate about saving unborn babies. Maybe God has called you to stand up for the unborn. Maybe God has called you to join those right to life organizations and stand up. There's a calling on your life. There's a purpose. And at the end of the day, Paul said that the body of Christ is fitly framed together, meaning that we all have different functions. We all have different things God has called us to. But when you put it all together, it's perfect. It's fitly framed together. Because he's building a church that he can present to himself that has no spots, no wrinkles, no blemishes. I mentioned that word kept, and I got a little sidetracked. If you're listening to this program right now, that means you've been kept. Because if there's anything I know, in a moment, life can come to an end. You know that. You've experienced it as well. But that word kept, what that means is preserved you for future use. Can't you just hear the Father this morning telling you, listen, I have kept you to this point because I have something greater for your life. You have been preserved. If he didn't have a use for you, I could argue you wouldn't be here. He's calling your name today. He's knocking on your heart's door. And I encourage you, let him in. Can we pray together? Father, first I want to thank you for the opportunity to share your word here on Blog Talk Radio. And Father, as a radio host that does multiple radio programs, I want people to listen. That's my heart's desire. And I want to be successful with this. But Father, I'm praying that the ears that need to hear this, those are the ones that press play. Those ones listening now or the ones that will listen later. And Lord, that above all, we begin to find an answer to the question, what we're living for. That you have a plan for us, and you have a purpose for us, and you want great and mighty things for us. You are preparing us, and that we all have a sermon to preach that is our life's experiences that someone else needs to hear because they can relate to it. Father, it may be someone out there who was once bound and addicted to drugs. You can raise them up to help others never walk that road or to help them recover from walking that road. You can use the sermon of our life to preach to the people that need it. It's not just the pastors holding the microphones. It's not just the pastor standing behind the lights. It's not just the pastors on the radio or on the television, Father. You've got preachers strategically placed throughout your church with sermons to preach. That is their life, that someone needs to hear. It may be the battered woman that needs to reach out. It may be the one who's been abused who needs to reach out. But they can share that life's experience and help someone in need. Father, there are those out there listening, Lord, they were not dealt a fair hand in life. When we look at it as human beings, it sure looks that way. We don't understand why some people have to go through what they go through. But Father, I know without a doubt in my mind that you can take those things and you can work them for the good. There are those out there struggling to find their purpose. Today, let them reach out to you, because at the end of the day, Solomon said, the one thing we have to do is obey you. And if we obey you, that is the example of a good life. So Father, help us all tune into you. Help us all tune our ears to hear what thus says the Lord. For those out there listening, Father, that do not know you, that have not accepted you, or maybe they've walked away. Let today be the day of salvation for them, because all they have to do is open their hearts and invite you into their lives. And that heart change can begin to take place. That heart change can begin to take place. We don't have to clean up behavior. We don't have to clean up anything to come to you. We give our hearts to you, and you do the cleaning. This is something I know well, Father. I know that I will be lost and undone without you. So today on this program, touch them, I pray. Lord, I'm also going to pray for all those out there that are in ministry, maybe a pastor or just a church worker or someone just sitting in the seat. I'm going to pray today that a new fire of your anointing begin to fall on them because we are in trouble. Lord, help us draw closer to you so we can hear exactly what you are saying, so that we can preach exactly what you are preaching, and so that we can walk exactly where you are walking. Help our minds be your mind. Help our hearts be your heart. Let our words be your words. Let us rid ourselves of men-pleasing and follow you and pursue you. Father, as we are praying, I can't help but think of the 25,000 people who are fleeing Ramadi in Iraq, hoping to find safety in Baghdad. They're out of food. They're out of water. They have no shelter. They're just running for their lives. Father, this is something we don't see in America. I pray for them today. I pray that you bring them protection and keep them. Lord, we live in an evil world. Men are wicked. We're evil. I pray, God, that you would help the church arise. I know you're calling. I know you're calling your church to step up and carry the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. I know you are. Help us to have that Joshua attitude, Father, where we say we're not going to be distracted. We are going to fulfill the purposes of God. Help us today, oh God. We love you, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Help us live a life of purpose. Help us answer the question what we're living for. Help us that we don't walk in vanity, that everything we do is for you. We love you. We thank you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that today you have been encouraged and that you have been challenged by the word. Solomon said, I've had everything, but it was vanity. Because there is a purpose for each and every one of us. God has not left us alone. He's got a plan. And I pray that today that you'll be encouraged by the word and that you'll begin, if you haven't already, to pursue the plan of God in your life. If you have been pursuing it, you're discouraged, you're downtrodden, there's still hope because you've been kept to this moment, which means you've been preserved and you have a purpose. Ask him to help and he will. Reach up your hand. He's already reaching down. Okay. I want to encourage you tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 hours, What's Important Now? We're going to begin to look at the ominous warnings, signs that are coming literally from churches, financial institutions, political leaders, media outlets, that America, the America that we have known, is on the brink of collapse. The question is, could the predictions be true? We're going to talk about it tomorrow night on What's Important Now, right here live on blogtalkradio.com/What's Important Now. Write down this number, telephone number. It's the guest call-in number, 646-929-0637. And if you're out there and you'd like prayer, we have about 8 minutes left of the program. You can call in, 646-929-0637. But that call-in number works on all of our programs. The Word on Wednesday mornings. It works on What's Important Now on Thursday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. And a new program we just kicked off last night, and you can listen to it archived here, The Independent, where it's about politics. And last night we talked about the situation in Iraq with ISIS and those fleeing Ramadi. We also began to examine the upcoming the candidates for the upcoming presidential election. I say upcoming, and it's over a year away. But last night we looked at great detail at Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, because Real Clear Politics says that if the election were held today, that Jeb Bush would win. Although it's in the margin of error, he would win. And so anyway, we took a look at them, and we're going to look at the other candidates declared and undeclared as, you know, as time moves a little closer to that. So basically what we have here is we have the Independent on Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. Wednesday morning, it's all about the Word. It's a Bible teaching. It's a midweek, one-hour Bible teaching program from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the East Coast. And then on Thursday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time, then it's What's Important Now. Statistically, and I love Blog Talk Radio for this, we've been seeing a lot of listeners. Our live, the amount of live listeners is growing every single program, which is why we're trying to provide more in what we do. And so thank you to all of you that are doing this, that are listening. It's very, very important for us, because we do it because we feel like it's making a difference. And the proof in that is looking at the statistics. And then you have what's called archived, and that's where statistically where people go back and listen to it after it's when it's no longer live. It's been archived. So we're seeing a large spike in those numbers as well. And the whole purpose of this particular program, The Word, is because it's middle of the week, and you know you're it's between the Sundays, and you're we think it's really important to get that midweek teaching, and so we're trying to provide a service to all of you to give you good Bible teaching in the middle of the week. Hopefully, that again challenges you and encourages you as the week goes on. They call today Hump Day. If you get over the hump, it's downhill from there, I suppose. But just the amount of listeners and the people listening is really, really important. And then we also have locally, and again, for those of you that maybe are listening for the first time, I'm from North Central West Virginia, and we have a 30-minute program that airs on FM radio around the state. And it's a version of What's Important Now. What's Important Now, 30 minutes. And so we've really excited about it. What's Important Now has been running for over 12 years now on radio in one form or the other. And God's really, really blessed it and really, really kept us. And we're taking those topics and we're applying it to the Bible and we're running with it. So we encourage you to tune in tomorrow night. And again, that call-in number is 646-929-0637. And also, you can contact us by email by writing whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Again, that email address, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook. All of our programs, we send out a post and a tweet via Facebook and Twitter as we go on the air. And when we announce new programs, new content, guests, or whatever, we put it through Facebook and Twitter. So I do encourage you that if you're not following us on one or the other, do so. On Facebook, it's Win Radio Program. If you look up Win Radio Program, you'll find us. On Twitter, you can follow me at T Sears Win Radio, at T Sears Win Radio. If you'd like to send us something by mail, it's 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. To summarize today's program, ladies and gentlemen, God has a purpose for our lives. We can have success. It doesn't mean we're happy. It doesn't mean we have a purpose. We can see God doing great and awesome things. And if we obey Him, that's a good life. Our blessings, financially or whatever, are given to us to be a blessing. Live a life of generosity. Keep in mind that nobody's perfect. Being perfect is not a perfect idea. We all have problems. We all fall down. We all have issues. So let's be less critical and less judgmental of others. And finally, and I've already said it, obey Him. If you obey Him, that's your purpose, is to obey God. So for all of you listening today, whether churched or unchurched, whatever, He has a purpose for you. Pursue His purposes. I did a sermon series years ago. I guess it's been 7-8 years ago now, called In Hot Pursuit, Chasing the Plan of God. And that's where we all need to be. Okay, I'm going to wrap things up here on The Word. Tune back in next Wednesday morning, 10 a.m., for another edition of The Word. And again, tomorrow night, right here on Blog Talk Radio, from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we are live with the What's Important Now radio program. Is America on the brink of collapse? A lot of people say, absolutely, that is the case. We're going to talk about it right here tomorrow night. blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. Have a blessed day. Praying for you. Take care. God bless.